Welcome to Wellness Spring podcast show. Today, get ready for an inspiring and powerful chat with Dan Crowley, former wallaby, undercover cop, stroke survivor, and unstoppable force of determination. Since our last conversation in 2021, Dan has faced new challenges, including major surgery, and continues to rise stronger than ever. In this episode, he opens up about resilience, self-healing, and the mindset that keeps him moving forward with purpose and grit. So tune in for a daily dose of inspiration. Welcome, Dan, to Wellness Spring. It's so lovely to have you back on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Wow, it's been a few years since our last chat back in April 2021. What have you been doing since then, and how has your life evolved for you personally and professionally?
Oh, well, just from a professional point of view, back in 21, we were still running three different businesses, I think, at that stage. So we had our investigations business, our medical business, where we provide nurses, paramedics, and firefighters to the mines, and then we had our traffic control business. So we're running all those. Since that time, we've sold off the investigation and medical business, and then we put together several traffic management companies, including our own, and listed on the ASX. So we're now the only publicly listed traffic management company in Australia, and building that business. So I've gone from an owner now to a shareholder, but working within the business.
Wow, that's incredible. So congratulations for being the first one with the traffic control in Australia on ASX. And can you talk us through what is it like? Because it was over 2 decades, I believe, you being the owner to transition into being the MD.
Yeah, it's an ongoing journey, you know. So the bringing trying to bring together, you know, eight different cultures and businesses, all owner operators. Everybody believes they're doing it, you know, the best way. So it's been a journey to be able to do that, and fortunately, from my perspective now, I've taken the next step in my evolution in the fact that we brought in a CEO. So I'm not the MD and CEO anymore. So I've stepped brought in someone to drive the business, and I'm more customer focused in that respect. Time flies, just turned 60, so you've got to look at, okay, what is the transition to the next, you know, next stage of life. So kids are all, you know, basically grown up and left home now. One's out of the four is married, and got one little grandson, or, you know, child, and another one expecting. So it's all that evolution stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, how does that feel to be an empty nester?
Oh, you never empty. They've gone, and we've got a couple back at the moment while they transition to their next place. So they're always
Fabulous.
coming and going, so which it's fine by us.
Yeah, because I know family is very important to you, and I guess your business is are all like small families as well. Do you think your rugby career being a team player has helped with, team bonding and so forth with your companies?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think when they were owner-operator businesses, yes. It's a different now that, you know, the company we're now in is, you know, it's spread across, yeah, across Australia and the South Island, New Zealand. There's around 2,500 staff, so it's a different than from just being a team now. You know, like, it's an organization with multiple smaller teams within it, which is very hard to consistently keep your arms around and keep that same message across the whole of the organization.
You mentioned that you're in customer service more, so do you deal directly with your clients?
Yeah, so that's my main focus is starting to deal with the major clients who we work for, and then look at the different opportunities within those clients, and then pass them over to our operators on the ground, who then execute whatever jobs they need done.
And the last time we chatted, you mentioned that you'd had a brain stroke.
Yeah, so I had a stroke back. That was about end of 2012, start of 2013. So I actually split. The doctors still don't know why. It just happened. I split the vertebral artery, which is the you got the carotid at the front and the vertebral arteries at the back of your neck. So I split the inside of that artery, and then unbeknowing, then threw a blood clot. So spent a number of months in, lost the whole left side use of my body. And so even from like my voice box, knocked out half of that. And so I had to learn to walk and talk and use my left side again. So I spent a few months in hospital and rehab. So it was a bit of an interesting journey at that time. Became, unfortunately, a determined to get back to where I was at. And in the meantime, through that determination, I suppose you get to be a bit of a cranky bear sometimes when you're trying to drive yourself to get better.
I can't imagine you ever being a cranky bear because when we were at that 1995 World Cup, you were the life and soul of the party. And especially in the courtroom, you used to have people in fits of laughter. So, how do you manage your self-talk? How do you overcome being a cranky bear?
Well, I've got a wife who tells me very quickly, so, but I think it's just again, that's from a self-awareness point of view, you've got to have a fair bit of that to know that you're not doing the right thing by the people around you. So, because you're just forcing yourself to try and get better, I've spoken to a number of people know, I went through that journey. So when they or their friends, particularly their friends, have, had a stroke, they'll ring up and say, "Hey, can you give them a bit of a call?" And I like actually talking to the people about it because it, you can talk about different things that the doctors don't tell you about, and just simple things about, saying, I was only talking to a guy recently and I was saying, "Do you get really tired quickly?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "Well, that's the reason why that's happening is because your brain's having to relearn a new pathway on how to walk or use your arm or whatever it might be. And so it's working twice as hard, or it's trying to focus on exactly where you put your foot." Whereas because the normal brain, the developed brain just does it naturally and has done it forever, it's now you're now your foot's like a like a an infant, and so you've got to reteach it how to work. So your brain is working twice as fast, and you get super tired. And so talking to people about things like that, they get the understanding, and they then understand and don't get as frustrated. And that's the same sort of frustration I went through right at the start.
And how did the people find you? Did you have a support group?
Oh no, it's just word of mouth. Different people, who know me, know what I went through. They'll ring up and say, "Hey, would you mind having to talk to to Joe, who's just gone through the same thing and is having a bit of a dark patch."
Yeah, and how did you cope with the dark patches? And were there any times where you thought, oh my God, I'm never going to resume my normal mental and physical health again?
No, not really. I suppose I'm just maybe stubborn. From that perspective, it doesn't matter what it is. And I'm
Yeah.
a great believer if you work hard, you can work through anything, So you and my I always say to people, you about all different bits and pieces. Unfortunately, you're in the washing machine. You got to work. You got to ride it out, and hold on.
That's a great attitude and way to look at things. And obviously, you played a contact sport, so the head injuries are very common. And do you think there's enough support for players in sports with head injuries?
Oh, look, that's a question from an answer perspective way above my pay grade. I don't know. I think everybody's trying to do the best they can. You know what I mean? And everybody's learning at the moment, and everybody's brain and everything and structure and is different. So, I think from a sporting perspective, they're doing the right thing. I do think. There's a lot of thought, more thought's got to be put into, at different stages. At the moment, they're trying to put rules in for kids who are under 8 through to, grown men playing professional sport or women playing professional sport. And so there've got to be different ways of managing it and handling it. I think they've got a long way to go to be able to get their brain around the brain injury stuff, and unfortunately we're seeing people who are severely affected by it, but a lot of times it's not picked up till it's too late.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned it was because you said that the doctors, you were talking to people about things that the doctor don't tell you. So it's about knowing what to expect, and like you mentioned about you can have waves and you've got to talk to your body. You actually lit up when you were talking about saying to treat your foot or body part like an infant. And I know when I spent a long stint in Melbourne recently, there was a lot of talk about dementia. Is that caused by head injuries? And it's about planting the seed, because you dedicated your life to the country and to the sport, and it is a very rough contact sport, and sometimes we don't know exactly how it's caused. Like in your example, you're saying the doctors are still a mess, they don't know how it occurred. But the most important thing is, through determination and resilience and your stubbornness, you're back in perfect alignment. Do you still, you mentioned last time your left foot was a bit slow moving. Is that still there?
Oh, I still have some left on my left side. I still have issues with my hand. I'm left-handed, but so I still have difficulty writing from that perspective a little bit. It's funny, little things. I have to use a pencil now when I'm writing, because if I use a pen, I grab it too hard, like a 3-year-old, and my hand cramps up. But to use a pencil, you've got to use it softer, you break the lead. I can touch type with my right hand, but I now can't touch type with my left, so I have to use a finger, so it's really weird. And I still have to focus on where I'm putting my foot, like going downstairs and stuff like that. You still have to focus on bits and pieces. Look, most of those things are inconsequential compared to other people. I'm, very lucky to where I've got to. And 99% of the time, people wouldn't notice, that there's any difference. And the only time it really gets worse is when I get super tired. And that's when, it sort of starts to play out a bit more. But like I said, compared to a lot of other people, I've got n nothing to worry about.
I just love your humility. And you've recently had a shoulder reconstruction. Was that the left side as well?
It was actually, well, I had a replacement shoulder about 6 years ago on my right. So and just had a reconstruction on my left. So unfortunately, it's just the old business catching up on me.
Right. And with all these things happening physically, do you have follow-up with anybody in particular?
In just what, in general, or?
Yeah, with doctors, specialists, rehab, physios.
Look, I think I've had the same doctor forever, so who I continually remind that I actually saw him on the Friday for a checkup, and he said everything was good, and then had a stroke on the Saturday. But you can never tell. But I'm fortunate that, through the rugby circles, you're connected to the best of surgeons and specialists around the place, and they're quite happy to help. So we're very fortunate from that perspective.
Oh, that's great. And just looking back over your journey, starting with a professional athlete, undercover cop, a stroke survivor, entrepreneur, what's the biggest lesson about determination and inner strength that continues to guide you today?
I think that again, nothing's ever going to work out perfect, and so you just got to keep forging forward. Doesn't matter what you're doing, and there will be days when
Yeah.
things don't work out and days when things do, and so you've just got to keep going, and I keep I suppose I look back at that old KFC adage, with Colonel Sanders, you're getting knocked back by
Yeah.
hundreds and hundreds of different places until he finally, got success at a fairly old age, So it doesn't mean that you can't. You just got to keep giving it a crack, and things will work out.
Wonderful, because yeah, it's hard when people face health challenges. A lot of people lose their self morale, their self worth, and go rock bottom, get really depressed. When they're facing these challenges, it's like they've had the stuffing knocked from underneath them. So, what message of inspiration and self-belief would you share to help them trust their body's capacity to heal and their mind?
I think history has shown on numerous occasions, and you can go back through where we've seen people, have been inspirational in the way that they've been able to take challenges and come from nothing to, and again, they don't have to be, a superstar or a millionaire or anything like that, but to be able to have life which they're fulfilled and they're happy with, but a lot of people don't realize, that they do have it, and they've got their family and their kids and from a health perspective, unless you are significantly seriously challenged, and even then you can overcome it, that people can look after themselves and start to build themselves back up physically, which helps mentally. And then from a mental perspective, there's so many people out there who are willing to help, and I think if you look back, 20 years ago, or and before that, there was a huge stigma around that, and no one wanted to admit it. These days, everybody, that will embrace the fact that you're seeking help. And I think that's the biggest thing that people are going to do. You've got to seek help, whether or not it's physically or mentally, if they need it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I totally agree, because it's a lot of people see seeking help as being a failure, And what tips would you give to, firstly, young people who want to start in a rugby career?
Oh, look, it's the it's whether it's rugby or whether it's business or whether it's wanting to create something, the only thing I suppose, if I just turn the left a little bit, in the fact that a number of times being asked to go into a shed before a big game for a team, and to talk about some inspirational words, and I say the same thing every time, and I say the same thing whether or not it's around, again, around your health, whether around it's your business, whether around it's your career. Only you know if you're doing the absolute best you can do. Like you could be the man of the match in a game, but you know you could have played better. Only you know that personally. So, and you're the only person that knows whether or not you've given life a crack, you know, in every area, because you only get one go at it. And so the only thing that, so people can lie to themselves, but they know deep down whether or not they've given it, you know, their best crack. And if you can say that in the different compartments of your life, well, then you should be pretty content.
That's wonderful tips. And if there was one thing that you could do to make our world a better place to live in, what would that be?
I think personally, just doing the right thing. You know, everybody again knows right from wrong, and it's the little things that are the rights and wrongs. You know, if you do the right thing by people, you do the right thing by your family, and morally, you know what's right and wrong. If everybody could actually say that, then the place would be pretty good.
That's wonderful. And what is your number one health and wellness go-to that you have to do no matter what?
Well, obviously, yeah, you know, the old adages of drink less, you know, eat better, all that sort of stuff. But I think that, you know, one of the things I'm missing at the moment is that I'd like to get up and first thing in the morning and exercise. You know, I think if you do that, you get it out of the way. You get it out of the way. You kick into the day really well, and then you can tick that off and go, well, at least I've achieved one thing today. Now, what's my next thing? And then what's my next thing? You know, that, as I said, that kickstarts your day, and is good for you.
Right. And because you went, you can do the next thing and the next thing. Do you make a physical list or a mental list of what you want to achieve for the day?
I'm pretty big on, I've got a task list
Mm-hmm.
on my computer that lists out every day and what I've got to do, you know, especially from with regards to seeing clients and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I'm pretty regimented in that respect.
Yeah. Great. And do you miss the being a policeman and the investigative work that you did, or do you think this business is carrying on from that?
Yeah, no, look, I think I just I've always enjoyed the chase, you know, and whether or not it's the coppers, you know, or whether or not it's business chasing new work and new clients and all that sort of stuff, and you get the personal satisfaction out of you know, being successful at whatever it is you're doing, you know. But I love the coppers. Like I really enjoy my time. It's interesting that, as I said, I've just turned 60, so all my cohort of guys who I went through the police academy with. I see a fair few of them. We used to get together every year. There was 120 guys. Every year we'd get together and catch up. And you'd normally get 50 or 60, some regular, some different, you know, at the event every year. This year we're seeing more and more of the guys, because they're all the guys who are still in. Mandatory retirement 60, so they're all having to retire this year. So it's an interesting conversation to ask them, what are you doing next? You know, because a lot of them don't know, you know, so which is
Yeah.
they're struggling with at the moment. But if you, I absolutely take my hat off to the police of today. You know, they've got it so much harder and so much more scrutiny on everything that they do, and they're asked to go, my personal belief in a lot of, you know, instances that they're asked to go out and do a really tough job with one arm tied behind their back, you know. So, you know, those guys, and from a people perspective, I suppose what I'm really disappointed about is that just the overall lack of respect for police, and because it doesn't matter who you are in society. You could be a bad person or not. The fact of the matter is as soon as something happens, you know, you mightn't like the coppers, but as soon as something happens to you or one of your family, who's the first person you call? The coppers, you know. And but they just show them such disrespect. It annoys me.
Oh, I had goosebumps when you were talking then. I call them truth bumps. Yes, it's so sad that they're so disrespected and their service is so well needed, as you mentioned. And yeah, you're such an inspiration. Before we close, is there anything that you'd like to share or what's next for you? Because that's the question everybody says at your events.
Viv, I think, as I said before, it's just to try and do the best you can at what I'm doing at the moment with regards to assisting the business, grow. I work closely with our guys around the country with regards to their clients and stuff, and I really enjoy it to whereby helping them be able to grow their areas, So they enjoy the hunt as well to be able to doing that, and then obviously, a big thing from my perspective is, making sure that the kids and now grandkids have got a good pathway forward. That if that all works out, then happy days.
Oh, that's wonderful. I personally believe it's all about community and support and families, and with that mix, magic happens and respect, as you said. So thank you so much for giving up your precious time and sharing your wonderful words of wisdom. And I wish you a bon continuation, as we say in France, for your healing and for your career and your new role as a grandfather.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.